Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning. Was that your foot? Get back!
I'm back.
Your feet are like right there. There's a line.
Do you want to restart it?
No! We're leaving this in.
Ryan's trying to play footsie.
No, it's the opposite of what I'm trying to do.
My feet are just still there. My feet are good.
There's a thing there. There's a mat there. That's mine. Everything to this line is me.
All right. Okay.
All right. All right, then. Hold down. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners. Especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, it's not that difficult to get Strange Brew Coffee. You can just get it on the website, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship it right to your door, and you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it's what's for dinner. You're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I mean, we are in the prime time of grilling. You know, this early summer, it's still not just blazing hot outside. It's Memorial Day weekend. What?
It's hot out.
It's not. This is not hot.
I know.
We're not anywhere near hot. You sound like O'Connor after that. The Vanderbilt game where he was just like, it's so hot. Like, you're,
that was hot.
You got. It was not.
That
though.
Vanderbilt series was hot.
It was like 80 degrees. We got 95 coming. It's
yeah, I was here last summer. I know how bad it gets.
So, that being said, go and enjoy some good grilling weather while you still can. Not that any weather is bad grilling weather. You can always, you know, you can always go inside. Not a big deal. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State is at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, well, you need answers. Talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, bankers that treat you with respect, that know you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I got something to tell you. So I came into work on, I believe it was Friday, and there was an envelope right here. I was like, what is this? And inside the envelope was this. You know what this is?
No.
I got a wedding invitation from one of our listeners.
Oh, my gosh.
So I wanted to give a shout-out. I already reached out to the bride and groom because they had an RSVP, and I was like, I can't make it. But I want to give a shout-out to Laney Scott and Cody Odom. Two of our great listeners. Appreciate you guys. You would have been my plus one if I could have gone. And I hope that was an open bar. But regardless of that, appreciate the invite, guys. Wish you all the best. Wanted to thank you all for thinking of us here at Thunder and Lightning. Inside the envelope, it said my fiance listens every day. So I sent her a text and I was like, hey, I can't make it. Do you want me to do a video? And she was like, oh, yeah, he would love that. So I sent her a video and thank them for inviting me. It was fun, yes. I thought that was really – that's our first wedding invitation. So, you know, if you want to invite Carlo and I to your weddings, we'll come.
I've never been to a wedding.
You've never been to any weddings whatsoever?
No.
It's okay, you're still kind of young, though. So, like, your core group of friends, they aren't there yet. Like, so
yeah.
I'm at the point now where I'm probably closer to seeing some of my friends' kids getting married than I am – any friends getting married. Mm-hmm. All my friends are married at this point. So I don't know. I don't know the next wedding that I'll attend. I'm closer to funerals than I am to weddings, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just a fact of life. So, hey, speaking of funerals, Mississippi State baseball this past weekend, not great. Not great. I guess what I want to really talk about, and we got Brooks Bryan joining us in just a few minutes, and we hit him up, get his thoughts on this, but How does State attack this SEC tournament? I'm of the belief, and I figured it out, by the way, folks. I was finally, when we were looking at the RPI, what happened is Virginia Tech dropped 8 spots down to number 47. So they were at number, that would have made them at number 39. 1 through 40 neutral site is a quad one win. So that has dropped to quad two. That is where the win that we were talking about on yesterday's podcast was. I think State is locked in as a probably between 12 and 16. I don't necessarily think that winning a couple of games in Hoover could push them to an 8. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to go over there, beat Ole Miss, maybe beat Georgia. And if you do that, maybe you could get into that discussion. It just seems unlikely. I'm always of the thought process that the brackets are kind of done already. Like, unless there's something weird happens, like the they don't. I don't think they move a lot from Hoover. I remember a couple of years ago, State had 17 SEC wins, but they had a really bad non-conference RPI. They had some bad non-conference losses, but they had 17 SEC wins. They had won the Governor's Cup, and they went over to Hoover, beat Ole Miss again, beat Texas A&M, and you're thinking, okay, they've done enough, right? And they hadn't. They didn't get to host. I just tend to think the committee doesn't look too much at these postseason tournaments, these conference tournaments.
I think they're locked in at 12 to 16, like
Yeah.
you were saying. I don't know if there's much room for movement. I think the super regional host thing, unless they go and win this SEC tournament, I really don't think that's even in play.
Know that winning it would get them. I just don't, because yeah, you do have to consider that everything else, it doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? So State wins the SEC tournament. Let's say they would beat Georgia, and then who else would they have to beat? Auburn, and then maybe on the other side of it they beat
Texas or
Texas or
something.
something. Yeah, great wins. Other teams are winning games across the country, you know, and Georgia getting knocked out, they're the SEC champions. They're not falling out of the top eight.
No.
If you play Auburn on Friday, and I don't know the bracket off the top of my head, so I mean I guess I could look it up real quick. But SEC tournament for baseball, here we go. So State, if they beat, they have to play the winner of Ole Miss, Missouri. Let's just assume it's Ole Miss. If they win that game, they would play Georgia. Let's say they beat Georgia. That would play the winner of likely Florida and Alabama. So let's just say Alabama. So you beat Alabama, right? Then you get over there and you play Texas in the championship. Those are good wins, right?
Yeah,
But
but
Texas had to beat Arkansas and then Texas A&M or Auburn to get. Other teams have good wins. In the other conferences, other teams are still winning games. I just don't think State can get into the top eight. So
no,
twelve is,
now that I'm looking at this, you're right.
yeah. I think the absolute best case scenario for State is they go over to Hoover, they do win a couple of games, and maybe that can move them to like the 9, and then you get USM, they just run through the Sun Belt tournament, right? They don't lose. They could be the 8. And if you're paired with Hattiesburg, that's about the best you could hope for.
100%. I think about what they can get out of this SEC tournament is a better spot to be paired with the Starkville Regional.
Right, because right now
You
you're probably paired with Georgia.
don't want to be paired with Georgia. You don't want to be paired with Texas. Probably don't want to be paired with Georgia Tech either. And when you're at the bottom of those, when you're closer to 16 than you are 9, I mean, you're going to get teams that they've struggled against. I mean, some that they've played, some that we think that they would struggle against. And like you said, if they get paired with USM, I mean, that is,
That's the best
I
case.
would almost say that going into that super regional that they would
They
be the
would likely be a small betting favorite.
favorite. Yeah.
It's kind of funny, by the way, we're sitting here like, we don't want to be paired with this. You don't want to be paired with this. Nobody is saying you don't want to be paired with UCLA.
I wouldn't want to play them.
I mean, they're the number one team in the nation, but like, I feel like we've seen that State can compete with that team.
Yeah, extra innings.
Should have won that game.
Right, yeah.
You don't, the ball hits the top of the wall and bounces back in, you win the game. A ABS system is in place, which I guess there will be. I
Yeah.
don't know if it'll be for the postseason, but it'll be this weekend in Hoover. You win that game.
Did you see the parameters around the ABS in Hoover?
Yeah.
The strike zone's huge.
It is. But I mean, the strike zone is meant to be
Bigger in college and
bigger in
pro,
college. Yeah,
yes.
I'm just excited. I got an over under of 4.5 pitches.
Oh, until it's first
Yeah.
used? Oh, that first game with Ole Miss and
Ole Miss and Missouri.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I guarantee Missouri's batter within the first 4.5 pitches is tapping the helmet. I guarantee it.
You know they want to do it. Reed Stallman said he wants to do it. He's like, oh,
Oh,
I'm going to eat that up.
yeah. I'll be honest with you, there were a couple of pitches this weekend that were close that were called against Mississippi State, and I thought about it.
Shocker.
Well, I just thought about it. I was like, if I was the batter, there's no way I couldn't have said something to the ump and like, I can't wait till next week. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Just, I'm gonna be tapping all day, baby. So yeah, I'm excited. 4.5 is the over under on pitches, not batters. Pitches.
Pitches. Okay.
Yeah. Ball three. No, I don't think
So
so.
you're going first guy.
The first, assuming the first guy didn't swing at the first pitch and get out. Yeah, it's gonna be in the
Oh,
first.
yeah. True. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, could get a hit. I don't know, but
4.5 is a.
I'm just telling you, they're gonna be
They
those
want to
guys.
do it.
Those
They
guys are
want
exactly. They're gonna be itching.
to. They want to do it.
They're gonna be
Okay.
itching to do it. I have no doubt. I
Especially
mean,
if it's a 3-2 and they get struck out or
yeah, if
something.
they get struck out
That would
looking,
be 5 at that point.
that's a good point. Well, I mean,
Go 5.5
not
pitches.
even 3-2. Like it's just one, it's 2-2, and here's the fifth pitch. I mean,
Oh,
that's
true.
5 pitches too, but still.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, I won't be surprised if it's the first pitch.
They'd
First pitch is a little outside. It gets called a
troll.
strike. Like, come on.
They'd be trolling at that point.
I would if I look at a strike first pitch, I'm going to make sure that it's a strike. Like, I need to know that that's a strike the rest of the game.
I can't wait. This will be
It's going to be
fun, man.
fun. It's going to be fun. I will tell you guys that when I look at this Ole Miss lineup, I think State needs to go lefty with whoever they start. And I don't know if that's Maddox Miller. I don't know if that's Jack Bauer. You've got Dane Burns. I wouldn't start Burns. I feel like he's better coming in relief. And then there's Tomas Valančiūnas, and there's just a little whiff. A little whiff of smoke that State might move him up. Now, if that I don't I t I tend to not buy into that. Just me. Because it doesn't make any sense. Right? There's no reason to make this guy miss a day of rest. All right, unless you're going to go out there and say, like, you got 45 pitches, you got 50 pitches. You know, for a guy, especially for a guy like Valančiūnas, who's a big strikeout pitcher, that's not a lot. You know, at that point, I would just make it a bullpen day. I don't know how State's going to handle this. You know, we're supposed to, O'Connor could not join us today. He's down in Jackson for the Ferris Trophy. There's a chance, it just depends. There's a window for me to talk to him tomorrow. Hopefully, I can get him. If not, so be it. But I'm interested to see what his pitching plan is. How would you handle the pitching plan for this week?
I would not start Valančiūnas against
No.
Ole Miss, assuming that they beat Missouri.
Right. Which it feels like a safe assumption.
I would go bullpen game to start the tournament, and you bring back Tomas the next day against Georgia if they were to beat Ole Miss, because at that point he would have the same amount of rest that he's had the last few weeks with these Thursday through Saturday series. But with the left-handed pitching, I would probably start Bauer, honestly, and then bring
Is
in.
it just time to do that? Just go ahead and give him his first start.
I think so, because especially if you're playing in a long regional too, and I mean, it gets the regional final and you already have a loss, they've got a loss and it's tougher. I mean, that really tests your depth in your bullpen. It wouldn't hurt to give him one start, because if it's a bullpen game anyway and he's struggling, just pull him, and then you already kind of plan to use pitchers that day anyway. So I'd go Bauer, and if they were able to beat Ole Miss for the fifth time this year, then you go back into the 1-2-3 guys that you've had for most of the year. So it'd be Valančiūnas against Georgia. If they're able to beat Georgia, then whoever is the winner of Alabama and Florida, that'd be probably Duke Stone. And then the championship would, all likelihood, either be McPherson or, I don't want to say the two words, but
Charlie Foster? Nah,
yeah,
I couldn't see
I don't
that.
think so either.
So
But I don't know who they'd get to that point,
my
but.
thought process is I would start Miller or Bauer tomorrow, or I should say Wednesday. And then I would go Valančiūnas on Thursday, but I'm going to have him on a pitch count. Like, we're going to get like 70 pitches, all right? We're not going to go too deep. We're not trying to, because we'd like to get some like extra rest. If you lose to Georgia, you lose to Georgia. It's fine at that point. You don't really care. Yeah, but if you win, I'm probably going to move McPherson up a day, but again on a pitch count, 60 pitches maybe. And then if you lose, fine. If you don't, Duke Stone can just throw. He's not on anything. Like, at that point, he's pitching on Saturday. It's going to be a full week before he's back out there, maybe later. He might be your game three starter. That's how I'm going to look at that. That's how I would attack it. That's just me. Let's talk to Brooks Brian and get his thoughts on this weekend, get his thoughts on a couple other things, but more importantly, his thoughts on these pitching matchups as State goes into the SEC tournament. Brooks Brian joins the program to talk about a weekend, Brooks. They're kind of running together for Mississippi State at this point. When you really break down State's schedule, it's something to look at. State's 12-0 in the four series they won. They're 4-14 in the other six series. They didn't win a rubber game all season long. They're just so up and down and inconsistent. And I just don't see a team when I watch them that I would trust to win a three-game super regional. I think they can get through that first weekend, but that second weekend, I just don't know. It just maybe depends on who they're playing. When you look at this team, what's your overall assessment of them now that the regular season's over?
It's kind of like you said, and I heard your show from yesterday where it seems like a kind of a Dan Mullen football team, where they beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, and the teams that are as good or better than them, they may win one, but they struggle to win a second one or to win one. They're right there on most of the games. They just can't figure out that way to win them. And sometimes it's hitting, sometimes it's pitching, sometimes it's fielding. It's just kind of all around, just different reasons, different games. Like the last, game three was 13 walks, I believe. So you
Not gonna beat anybody like that.
yeah, it's amazing that we lost by one run and we only gave up what, seven, I guess, walking 13. So yeah, I just think it's a good team. And right now it's not a great team, but the good thing about baseball is all you got to do is get hot for a couple of weeks in a row. Ole Miss did it, in 22, whenever they were the last team in, and then they just went on a run and won it all. So it's kind of unlike football and basketball where talent and the best team wins all the time.
And something that was pointed out on a message board this morning, O'Connor's national championship team was not his like best team. It was a good team, but I think they finished 500 in the ACC that year. But they ended up, like you said, when you get hot at the right time, part of that can be the SEC tournament. You played for two different coaches at Mississippi State, Ron Polk and Pat McMahon. How did they handle the SEC tournament? How did they? What was the mentality going into these games? Especially both of those times where I think in 97 you guys knew you were going to be hosting. In 98 you probably knew you were going to be on the road. Was there a difference in mentality there?
There wasn't a difference in mentality, but as players, we knew in 97 that we were going to host. And back then it was, only 48 teams getting in instead of 64. And it was eight regionals of six teams rather
The good
than
old days, as I
16
like to call
regions
it.
of four teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we knew we were hosting, but then now in 98, we felt like we had to go win two games just to make the regional because we didn't do as well during the season, so we felt like if we win two that we would be in, and that's what we did. We beat, I forgot the two that we won, but we won two and we were able to get in, probably the last team to get in, I would think. That was a record number of SEC teams they had ever had that year. And I think the SEC tournament can help you, like if you're on the borderline of getting in the tournament, or if you're on the borderline of maybe being an eight seed, the further you go, it solidifies that. I don't think it can hurt you. And I think we proved that in 21 where we go there and go get run rule, what, twice and come back
Twice.
home. And we still hosted a super regional. I think we may have been the number five or six seed, I think. So I think it can definitely help you the further you go. And I don't think it can hurt you.
You made me go look. So you guys beat South Carolina, lost to Arkansas, beat LSU, and then lost again to Arkansas. So that was your SEC tournament in 98. So.
Yeah, and Arkansas had beat us on a senior weekend the weekend before that, two out of three. So we lost four out of five to Arkansas in a 2 week span there.
That's rough, man. The
Yeah.
Hogs. The Hogs have been beating Mississippi State for a long time. That's what it feels like.
Brooks, looking at the bracket for the SEC tournament, the matchup with what probably is going to be Ole Miss for the fifth time this year, but then if they were able to beat them for the fifth time, they'd face Georgia, the team that probably beat them the easiest, I would say, of any of them. Just what are your overall thoughts on, their path through the tournament this week in Hoover, and maybe what you would expect out of this to go?
Yeah, I think I definitely think Ole Miss will beat Missouri. So I think Wednesday morning we'll see State and Ole Miss, and I think we'll. I would say probably, maybe the three options that I would think we would have at starting pitching would be either Billingsley, Brian mentioned it yesterday, Pitzer, and or Brandon Sweeney. I think those are the three options that you've got there. And then Ole Miss, they may throw Elliott on 6 days rest, or 5 days rest. I'm not sure, but I like playing them in a big ballpark. I definitely like that. You really have to hit one to get it out of there, and we all know that that's what Ole Miss's offense is based on, and ours has been kind of based on that at certain points of the season this year. But I do, I like our chances there if we just go out and play baseball. If our pitchers will throw strikes. And if we will swing early in the count like we did, we mentioned it post game after game one, Brian and I did, where we swung early in the counts and made contact and hit the balls that were in the middle of the plate. And instead of getting behind 2-2 or 0-2 or 1-2, where we have more defensive swings and have to, worry about pitches on the edge, we hit the pitches instead of missing them and swinging and fouling them all.
The three guys you mentioned, all right-handers. Ole Miss has struggled mightily this year against left-handed pitching. Could you see a scenario where maybe Maddox Miller or maybe even Jack Bauer gets the start?
I can see that. Yeah, I had forgotten that Ole Miss has struggled so bad against left-handed pitching. So I could see that. Especially if O'Connor really is trying to make sure that he wins that one and to have a really good start. And that's what we need is good starts, because our starting pitching the last probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season, we've been getting behind a lot of games and having to battle back. So I could see that.
When you think about, playing a regional, which is what Mississippi State's going to be doing, next week, and all indications are still very solid that that's going to be a Starkville regional, not going to be a super regional in all likelihood, unless the team on the other side of the bracket happens to drop out, if and it could happen, happens every year. But is this a team, if I made you say, hey, this is how far I think this team can go, regional, super regional, Omaha, so on and so forth, what's the best case scenario for this team if all systems are go with them?
I think best case is they get to Omaha. That I don't have any hesitation on that in a best case scenario. I do think we win a home regional, and then the two places I don't want to be matched up with would be Georgia Tech and Georgia. I think any of the other six super regional teams I would be fine with, whether that's Alabama or whoever else that may be, Texas. I'd be fine with going there. It's just. I think if McPherson can keep, in his next appearance, maybe in a regional, so you may look at 60, kind of a 60 pitch count deal there. But I think best case would be get to Omaha. Worst case obviously would be losing out in a home regional, but I just don't see us losing a home regional. I know we haven't been great at home in SEC play, but I think that that come regional time, we would be fine.
And you kind of hit on it right there. They haven't been great at home in SEC play, but they're not going to play an SEC team in this regional. They've only lost two games to non-SEC teams this year. Both of those teams are in the top 10. So I agree with you. I think at home that they should be just fine. On the road, yeah, you don't want to go to Georgia. You don't want to go to Georgia Tech. I would add Texas to that mix just
I
because
was going to say that too.
with Volantis, kind of cancels out what you get from McPherson. You're going to have to win a low-scoring game, and State hasn't won a lot of low-scoring games this year, where they've scratched out a 3-4, 4-3, 3-2 kind of win. So we'll see where it goes from that. I wanted to ask you about, Sullivan and Ace Reese, two guys that, coming back from last year, had high expectations, specifically Reese. They were just kind of, I don't know if mid's the right word, but Reese wasn't great in conference play. Sullivan was pretty good. These last 2 weekends, though, they seem to have really found their stride. They're hitting the ball really, really well. When you watch them hit, are they doing anything differently than they were doing in March and April, or is it just the bats finally finding the ball?
I know with Sullivan, he's not swinging and fouling off as many pitches now, and he's actually swinging at balls earlier in the count. A lot of times he would get down 0-2 or 1-2 and hadn't swung the bat yet because he's so particular and on what pitches he swings at. And then when he would swing early in the count, he would foul, fastballs 92, 93 right down the middle, straight back. And those are the ones that you've got, you get one or two pitches usually in an at bat to really hammer. And those are the pitches now that he's hitting really well. He's, you're talking about a quarter of an inch difference in your swing, basically, from fouling it back to having a really good squared up, barreled up ball. Ace, I think he's letting the ball get a little bit deeper. He's not trying to just totally pull everything now. I've seen him go backside several times through the shortstop, left center, and that's when I know that Ace is on his game, is when he's hitting gap to gap more than he is just straight right field, and I think he's doing a little more of that too.
Brooks, we were talking before you joined about the potential pitching situation, who they would start in Hoover this week. I mean, you in all likelihood, you would probably want Tico against Georgia, but you also don't want to overlook Ole Miss, especially for a team that you're playing for a fifth time. It's hard to sweep the team. You beat them four times, and then you go to try to beat them a fifth. Who would you start, and what do you think the plan would be for pitching this week, or what do you think O'Connor would lay down? We kind of already talked about game one, but if past that as well.
Yeah, I would not move Tico up a game, man. It just feels like, I know he threw 2 weeks ago. He threw really well, but last, several games in, out of the last three or four that he's had, he's, I don't know if worn down or tired, may be the wording, but I wouldn't bump him up a day. I would leave him where he is and go at it like we did maybe in Pearl when we played Ole Miss and have a bullpen game, and whether that's Jack Bauer or Maddox Miller starting, or whether that's Billingsley or Sweeney. I know Sweeney, I think, started in Pearl when we played him in Pearl.
That's pretty good.
But I wouldn't move Tico up just because of the way he's looked the last, say, 3 or 4 weeks.
Would say, what about McPherson? Would you move? Go ahead and try to move him into that. Assuming you have to win another game, you'd have to beat Georgia in all likelihood. But if you could do that and you survive until Friday, do you move McPherson into that spot? Or if you're trailing, 7-1 in the seventh inning, do you tell McPherson to go warm up and we're going to get you an inning here at the end of the game?
I would 100% want to see McPherson this week to try to get some pitches in. I doubt it would be in relief, even like you said, in a 7-1 game, just to try to get him, make sure we get him some work this week. I think that he would do, let's just say we lost that game. I think he would do more of a simulated, go back home and practice, and he does simulated game there where he's going against our offense, rather than trying to bring him in. Warming up totally different than he would if he's starting a game. I think you keep him on a Friday. So if you can make it to the third game of the tournament, I definitely think you start him there. I don't think you move him up to Thursday just because of, you're still battling, making sure that he's 100% and trying to get his pitch count up.
Sounds good to me. Brooks Brian, we may have you back this week to talk about the projections of the regional, of course, get you ready for postseason baseball. Thanks, Brooks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Brooks. Appreciate his time as always. Good stuff from him. Especially the stuff on Sullivan and Reese there. I mean, that's a hitter's perspective that we're getting there. So appreciate him joining us as always. All right, it's time. Time for our first SEC football preview. We are 16 weeks away. The start of the college football season, as you know, we will go week to week, go alphabetically, except to the last two. We'll go State Ole Miss the second to last week, and then the week of the season starting, we will go to Mississippi State. And we have a partnership with the message board. I don't know if you've heard of this message board or not, sixpackspeak.com. They are going to be doing their predictions alongside us. So,
Okay.
so. Well, first time we get to break it out this year. Go ahead, hold you up. We got it right here. The helmet schedules. So
This was interesting filling it
it
out.
was. I got some surprises. I kind of did the same exercise that we did last week, where I just kind of went with my gut. And this is my, today is May 18th prediction for all of these teams. When we get to these games and we're doing the actual predictions week to week during the season, Subject to change, right? When I get new information, that's one of the tenets of this show. When we get new information, we're allowed to change our minds.
I feel like by week three, I'm going to be changing my mind
Yeah, I
about
feel like,
this.
yeah, you're probably correct. So, all right, let's move into our first predictions of the season. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Kind District. Place to find smoked Southern soul food. I have been told I'll be eating at Two Brothers on Wednesday. Got some Super Talk folks coming up here. So, looking forward to that. I'm excited.
I've been told.
I've been told. I've been given the word.
It's the wing day.
That is, it's Wing Wednesday, so I may have to put on a show.
You know, I was in Chicago and I ate 10 wings yesterday and I was good after that.
No, you're right.
I'm not saying I couldn't have eaten more.
No,
Just that was a good
that's
amount.
a good amount. 10's fine. What's wrong with 10?
I feel like you're clowning me right now. This is sarcasm. Look at this. For everyone on YouTube, look at his face right now. This is like
Got a haircut today. I'm nice and clean.
haircut and the beard.
I get a trim. I get a
Wouldn't that be
trim.
a beard trimmer?
Well, I get a haircut,
Oh,
and I got a beard trim.
okay. No
So,
fade. You didn't get a fade or anything?
this is what I get. Two on the sides and back. Leave me enough to comb up top. Get the beard with the two as well. Get the
Leave the
mustache.
hair on the head.
I just leave enough to comb, run
Yeah.
a comb and part it basically.
Got it.
So it's like I don't want to look like a Marine, but I don't mind looking like a Marine who's already been through everything, 2 years in kind of Marine.
Yeah,
So,
seasoned vet.
yeah, I keep it short. So, got the ear hair too, the grandpa hair. Got to get that out.
Still can't believe that happens. I'm not
Oh,
accepting
it's gonna happen.
that.
Let me tell you something right now. All
Oh
right,
no.
we're right off. I'm sorry, Two Brothers. This is just and I told the girl this because I was like, "Hey, can you get the ear hair?" And she was like, "Sure." And I told her, I was like, "This is the worst part of getting old." She's like, "Why?" I was like, ear hair grows faster than any other hair on your body. Like you can pluck an ear hair and the next day it's back. I don't understand why it is that way. I don't know what it is. But as you get old, I call them grandpa hairs. My grandfather, my God, like a bush in there. It was just so
No,
bad.
no.
So
Shout out Two Brothers.
shout out to Two Brothers. If you go get a haircut, go get it Two Brothers. There's a barbershop across the street.
Haircut at Two
No,
Brothers?
you go get a haircut and then you go to Two Brothers.
Oh.
So that's what I'm telling you to do. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you're looking for a new copier, printer, computers, laptops, whatever your business needs, our friends at Advantage Business Systems have got what you're looking for. But more importantly, they got you taken care of long after the sale is made. You can trust them to deliver service after the sale. They've been doing it for 5 decades, guys. It's a long time. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Marine & Co. is the place to go. If you're looking for great Mississippi State gear here in Starkville, in the Golden Triangle, nobody with a better selection than Marine & Co. The Starkville Regional is almost upon us, and you'll need to be up here. And before you go to the game, you want to get some new gear. You want to make yourself look good, get the M over S. They've got everything you're looking for at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You'll save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Or you go to those next games at Diddy Noble Field, make sure you're going to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. I was walking around the neighborhood today, and it's like mowed, mowed, mowed. Look at everybody's yard. Mowed, mowed. The sun is out. The grass is green. You've got to mow it. Do it with John Deere Green at the Drive Green sales event at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Great deals available on John Deere compact tractors, commercial mowers, zero turn mowers, gators, whatever it is you're looking for. They've got it at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has something that you need to buy. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, the name to know is Good Hope Land and Timber. Good Hope Land and Timber has been serving this state for a long time. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a simple phone call. Whether you're looking to buy or sell land or just maintain the land you already have, make sure you get the most for your timber, for your land. Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you with that. Mississippi State people, good people, give them a call today if you're looking to buy, sell, or just maintain your own land. 601-442-9888 or visit them online at g-hope.com. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. It's always a thrill to print off the helmet schedule. It's just a thing. This is something that for us old folks like myself, when you would get the you'd see the helmet schedule like in late July, early August, you're like, oh, the
It's
season.
almost here.
Well, I mean, we were talking about that the other day on Sports Talk about how I don't know, you're probably too young to even know, but like the when the preseason magazines would come out, like Lindy's and Athlon's, and you would get those, and like that's how you know, if you were a fan of Mississippi State, that's how you found out what was going on in the other schools. Like, what does the depth chart look like at Georgia this year? Well, I have to go buy my Lindy's and read it. And I would read that thing cover to cover, from the day I got it till the season kicked off. It was it was an indispensable tool back then. But the helmet schedule was always a big part of it. All right. The Alabama Crimson Tide, college football playoff last year. Who do they get their ass kicked by? Who
I
was
don't know,
that? Who
man.
just beat them down like a dog in the
And ran
street?
the football down their throat
Just
the whole
beat
second
them
half.
like they stole something from.
You
Who
know,
was that team?
your Indy, or excuse me, my
Yeah, about that.
Indiana
Never mind.
Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Yes, they did, and I was very happy
Hey,
about
they
that.
kicked their ass, as I like,
Yeah,
as the
there was
American dream
actually
would
a
say.
Kurt Cignetti quote that he talked about, or it was a player that revealed it that said that they want to beat him so bad that the second half, all they did was run the football down their throat to just show them that not only are we better than you, but we're going to out-tough you
Oof.
and just brutally dominate
You
you on
made
the
them
ground.
quit. There's no question about it. So I think DeBoer is in trouble this year. I think if he's not in the college football playoff, he will be fired. So is he going to get there? Let's take a look. All right. Week one, we've got them with East Carolina. That's an easy dub for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, field goal at the buzzer. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Me go tell you right now. If they win that game on a field goal at the
He might not
buzzer,
survive week
let me
one.
scratch out the number I have written down here. At Kentucky, week two. I think that's a win for them as well. I have them getting off to a pretty fast start. I think they get revenge on Florida State week three. You in with that?
Yeah, I'm at 3-0 as well.
3-0. South Carolina at home. I like their chances. I think they'll win that game. So 4-0. At Mississippi State. Why is that a
Because I want you to answer this one.
Well, I think that they're going to beat Mississippi State. I'm just going to be the one to tell you. I just don't think State has what it takes to beat Alabama. So I've got them winning that game and starting off. That's a 5-0 start. October 10th, Alabama hosting Georgia. Alabama's had Georgia's number the last couple of years. It's been kind of weird to watch as Georgia has beaten everybody else in the SEC except for Alabama. I got to go turn it around this year. Do you?
Yeah, I've got them losing to Georgia. I
Okay.
think that's their first loss of the season.
Same here. I have them losing to the Georgia Bulldogs. So they would be 5-1. Third Saturday in October. It is actually the third Saturday in October. Thank you, SEC schedule makers. I appreciate you. At Tennessee, I think they'll get the win there.
I have them also getting the win there.
Okay. Hosting Texas A&M on October 24th. I've got them winning that one.
Wouldn't that be A&M's first time playing there since they joined the conference?
No, you're thinking of Georgia.
I'm talking about A&M at Alabama.
And no, because they've been in the West. They've played at Alabama many times.
Oh, the number.
Georgia, A&M has not played at Georgia yet.
Okay.
That's the one
Okay. Then.
since they joined the conference.
Okay. I've got, yeah. Well, I've got
Yeah,
A&M.
Alabama's played. I mean, Manziel, that crazy game he had was at
Oh, what am I
Alabama.
talking about?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
You're right.
Off week is Halloween for Alabama. Only one off week this year for everybody, which I hate. Like those 2 bye weeks. Then what, early, game of the season kind of stuff. Alabama at LSU, November 7th. That's a great day for college football, by the way. You've got Alabama at LSU. You've got Florida, Oklahoma. You've got Georgia at Ole Miss. You've got South Carolina, Texas A&M, Missouri, Texas. That's a good day in the SEC.
Mississippi State Vanderbilt.
You do have that. I've got the Tigers winning.
I also have LSU winning.
I'll just go ahead and let you know, LSU fans, that both Carlo and I are very high on your Tigers this year. I was high on the Tigers last year though, and that didn't work out. At Vanderbilt, win for the Tide. At Chattanooga,
Home
I'm
for the
sorry, home
Tide.
against Chattanooga. Boy, it'd be something if they went to Chattanooga. That's a win. And then I don't know if you're aware of the Iron Bowl situation here. When the Iron Bowl's in Tuscaloosa, easy win for the Tide. When it's in Auburn, crazy game. It's in Tuscaloosa this year. Easy win for the Tide. I got them 10-2.
I also have them 10-2, and I have to.
We have the same schedules.
Yeah.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. That sounds. I mean, I ha So when we did that exercise last week, I said 9-3. What game did I but I didn't know their schedule off the top of my head. I mean, they don't have Texas.
See, the thing is, their road games are not that tough.
No, at
Tennessee.
Kentucky, at Mississippi State, at Tennessee, the LSU one is tough. At Vanderbilt.
Yeah, besides LSU, like Tennessee, I guess will be tough. Mississippi State can be tough if
Tennessee
people
is going to be
stay.
tough just because it's at that's a big stadium.
Yeah,
It's a big rivalry.
rivalry.
Yeah. I think 10-2, if they're less than 10-2 on this schedule, DeBoer's out.
I agree. Because
Like
10-2 gets them in the playoff.
10-2 would be in the playoff. 9-3 would not be with this schedule.
If we've learned anything about the 2 years in the 12-team playoff,
9-3
nine
doesn't
and
get
three
in.
doesn't cut it.
I'm gonna get the job
Ten
done.
and two is the line.
Well, there you go. So 10-2 from both Carlo and I to start this off. Next week we'll have the Arkansas Razorbacks, which also means, by the way, we're 4 weeks away from our first opponent preview, which we do every year. And as we do every year, we go back to front so that when we get to week one, we're talking about the week one opponent. So we are 12 weeks away talking about the Egg Bowl here on Thunder and Lightning. Always a fun, it's a fun time of year when we start getting into these football topics here and there. All right. You're good to go. You just keep it over here. Just give me yours. Write your name on it. Write your name on it like it's a homework assignment. Yeah. Put the date, put your social on there and your pen number. Hand me that. All right. And we've got both our helmet schedules right here. I'll put mine on top because I'll have to refer to it more often. And we're good to go. All right. Tomorrow's show is the rumblings, but what's your situation tomorrow? You're gonna be in Hoover, right?
Yes.
We'll make it work. We'll
Yeah,
figure it out.
we'll make it work. I'll text you, we'll figure it
Yeah,
out.
we'll figure it out. So send your questions in. You fire off to the tweet and we'll get them answered. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Of course, on Thursday's show, we'll recap Mississippi State versus somebody, likely Ole Miss. And, maybe I've won a bet, maybe I haven't. Find out. Find out together. Talk to you guys then. For Carla Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.